Market moving insight and analysis. Join Jim Cramer, David Faber, and me, Carl Quintanilla, on the opening bell hour of CNBC's Squawk on the Street. Good Friday morning. Welcome to Squawk on the Street. I'm Carl Quintanilla with Jim Cramer, David Faber, the New York Stock Exchange. Futures are steady as we wrap up the first big week of Q3 earnings. Coke and Amex look good. Got some downgrades of Caterpillar, though, Macy's and others. China GDP was a miss. Big weekend ahead for the UK as Parliament meets in a special session to talk Brexit. 10-year 175. Got four Fed speakers today, including Vice Chair Clarida. Our roadmap begins with global growth concerns. China posting its weakest GDP in 27 years. Amid fallout from the trade war.
Plus, we'll wrap up the first week of earnings season. Today, we got two down names in focus, Coke and American Express, both rallying ahead of the bell. J&J, though, a different story. We'll have that as well.
And Rick Perry set to leave Trump's cabinet. The outgoing energy secretary will join us live this hour. Going to start with that slowdown. China saying its economy grew 6% in Q3 from a year ago. It's believed to be China's slowest gain in nearly three decades. Markets here largely shrugging it off. Industrial production was up from the prior 5 to 5.8. Retail sales up from 7.5 back to 7.8. So kind of mixed.
Yeah, I mean, this is one of those numbers where you can say, look, there's something for everybody. The Fed can still cut. But I'm doing a lot of work on American Express this morning. And consumer's still strong. Consumer strong, business, corporate spend. As Barry Sternlicht said, still a lot of negativity among CEOs. Negativity extends to the election. Negativity extends to the to China, European woes. You go back to the IBM call. We didn't talk about that enough. It was a very negative call. But they saw weakness in for Brexit. So we don't have any enterprise strength around the world. But we do have consumer spend doing incredibly well. X, the incredible Morgan Stanley note, which says that there's value destruction going on at Gap stores, value destruction going on at Macy's. Wow. That was some note.
It was.
Bell Brands.
It's a, well, but for obvious reasons.
Yeah, well, the mall.
Yeah.
Their line is, our expectation is that multiples will not be sufficient to offset the ongoing pressure trends from the macro. They talk about store closures. This year's on track to be the biggest year for store closures in 24 years, and our analysts are bracing for another round of large-scale closures after the holiday season.
Yeah, it's funny, though, when you match that with the strength of American Express, including really, really extensive spending by the consumer in the United States, what it just says is the consumer spending, but they're spending at Watch, they're spending at Walmart, Amazon, Target, Costco, Home Depot. They are not going into the mall. And by the way, you know, when you read this thing, you think that at one point they say that Macy's, it's worse than pre-2008. I mean, balance sheet's not that bad, but...
Balance sheet's not that bad. We talk often about the dividend at Macy's because it is so high, and you'd think would be potentially attractive to many people if they believe the balance sheet can withstand the larger woes of the retail economy when you're a mall-based retailer.
Yeah. Let me just say it's Credit Suisse.
But it is Credit Suisse, yes.
But you know what? I look at this piece, and I say to myself, there is going to be... There's like a mall Armageddon going to happen. I mean, you know, you don't get Macy's down here at 10% yield. I mean, what does that mean? What does that mean? Is it Amazon? Is it bargains that Walmarts are offering? I mean, look, this is ammo for, by the way.
It's going to be all those things, by the way. It doesn't have to be just one or the other.
It's going to play into the hands of Senator Warren, who's talking about Amazon Web Services having, 47% share. Talking about how it's wiping out retail. Now, it should be wiping out just mom and pop she's worried about, but this is extraordinary. This piece is extraordinary. And I'm going through it, and I'm saying, L Brand, you go to the mall, there's no one unscathed.
It's not just Macy's. They take Gap and L Brands all to underperform.
The deck tier Titanic breakup of Gap. That's what they're saying. Old Navy creates split.
Take a walk on 60th and Lexington Avenue if you want to look at all the retailers that are going out.
So you went shopping?
No, I've heard.
Where'd you get that blazer?
I picked it up somewhere.
It's got that nice company. Was about 30% poly. It's good. Just keep it away from fire.
People actually
keep it away
really
from
like,
fire.
People
will
really like this.
Do
blazer.
We have a fire extinguisher on set?
I will.
I'm getting
will
nervous
tell you.
Here.
Yeah, people enjoy watching this on TV.
Look, there's a J&J talc that's found asbestos in it. One lot. But as far as I'm concerned, as someone who has my child trust has it, I didn't think it was supposed to happen. And maybe it's a counterfeit, but watch that stock plummet today.
That's why I mentioned J&J at the very top.
No, that was worthwhile.
You might want to just make sure people understand what we're talking about.
Okay.
Because let's take a look. J&J is down. We're going to get to, the Dow components that reported, but J&J not earnings related.
Well, let's read the release.
That decline is because of asbestos found in...
Yeah, out of an abundance of caution, J&J Consumer, can you believe this? By Friday, I can't even see things, announced that it is initiating a voluntary recall in the U.S. of a single lot of its J&J powder in response to FDA test. A single lot. Well, is this like a cockroach? I'm not. It's a suboptimal situation.
Litigation risk here? Is that what you're saying? Sort of offsetting
There's a giant suit. J&J has won.
A lot of reports, if you recall, about and a lot of dispute about whether there was any whatsoever.
Any
asbestos in any towel.
I went to hear the award-winning Reuters reporter speak about J&J at the Knight Badger conference on Wednesday. And I wanted to say to her, but wait a second, there's not been a single lot of asbestos. Fortunately, I did not do that, because now we know that it is possible to have asbestos. You know, there hasn't been any found.
Right.
I'm aghast. And my trust as a shareholder. I got to call it like you see it.
Subtrace levels of
right.
Chrysoprasyl asbestos contamination, no greater than 0.00002% in samples from a single bottle purchased from an online retailer.
Right. Thousands of tests over the past 40 years pleading confirmed the consumer talc products do not contain asbestos. Sorry, I'm just reading this. But they cannot confirm if cross-contamination of the sample caused a false positive, right, whether the product is authentic or counterfeit. So there is, for those who own it, there's more that needs to be known.
A lot more.
But the paucity of information about this is going to cause people to shoot first and ask questions later, or more important, not use the talcum powder.
Correct.
Not use it. I'm Alex Corsi.
It's not that big. It's not that important part of their business. The litigation risk is much larger than the sales.
Well, there's a giant on appeal Missouri case. Twice that Missouri court, the appellate court, has ruled against the plaintiffs. J&J has been winning more suits than it's been losing, but this is, it's J&J putting out the release. I'm not going to tell you it's a buying opportunity is what I'm saying. I'm not going to say, you know what, you got to step in front of this freight train. I'm not going to do that. I hope that it is counterfeit from the point of view of J&J shareholders, but they can't confirm cross-contamination, so I don't want to leave it as this is just open and shut, but this is not... It kind of took my speech away. I've been working on it for the last 40 minutes. I'm stunned.
Wow. We're going to watch that Dow component along with, as we said, Coke and American Express. Start with Coke. The beverage maker has earnings that were in line with forecast. Revenue was up. Organic sales of 5, that does beat, and it raises the full-year guide for revenue and operating income. As for Amex, as Jim has said, beat on the top and the bottom line. Strong consumer spending. Also forecast current quarter revenue growth of 8 to 10. That's compared to a consensus of 8-9. Card spending up 7 is the same as Q2. And their commentary, Jim, trends we saw are consistent with an economy that continues to grow,
right,
albeit at a more modest pace than last year.
One of the things that I love about the American Express quarter, millennials, they have come back to the card. When you finally kind of make it, you get it. It's because of the benefits that the card offers. I'm surprised the stock is only up 60 cents. I think the initial judgment up a couple was better. This company has reinvigorated itself. It's got good card growth. It's doing good digital marketing. These clubs, they bought Resy, that's very important. New lounge, card give you some new lounge benefits. I think the stock is inexpensive, and I think that the company's doing really terrific.
As for Coke, not just the volume, but the pricing, too, helped. The Forex did pinch, though, as obviously you would expect for a company with half of their revenue coming outside U.S.
But you know what? James Quincy's using a terrific term. He's calling it an excitingly boring quarter. They are taking share of, you know, this is, there's a little disputation about between who's taking share of Pepsi versus Coke, but Pepsi's doing maybe a little bit more share in the United States, but around the globe, it is really Coca-Cola's. And by the way, diet drinks, double-digit gains, like the old days, Coke Zero. I'll have a Coke Zero around 2:30 today. I'll have Diet Dr. Pepper at 3:30. But there is, other than Latin America, everywhere there's some great strength. And I think Quincy's doing a remarkable job. Once again, the ads have gone from newspapers, or you know, virtually nothing, to digital, some TV. But they've reached that classic group of people. Yes, the
millennials.
Yes, David, exactly right.
Thank you.
You should be on Jeopardy.
Yeah, well, maybe again one day.
Yeah, who knows?
Stock's more or less in line with the S&P in terms of its performance over the last 12 months.
What, Coca-Cola?
Yeah, I mean, this year the S&P's up 19.5%. Coke's up 17.9% over the last 12 months.
You don't have to.
So it's a little bit.
But this is what, you know, it's back to sleep at night.
Yeah.
Someone was criticizing Warren Buffett the other day, which I always find to be a ill-advised stature.
Who is that?
David Rolfe. Yes.
On Wedgewood Partners.
Oh, comes on quite a bit.
What yes. I was talking about yes. yesterday.
No. And I just say, look at Coca-Cola. Look at the gains. Look at the unbelievable numbers. And Quincy, again, has really reinvigorated. I like the profile. I think it's very, very good. And I think that what he's done in terms of just, you know, the small. Here's something. Who thinks of innovation with Coca-Cola? This small size on fire. Small size. Mm-hmm. You use it.
No, I don't drink Coca-Cola.
Yes,
or their
but we do. Judy loves the small cans.
I love it. Lisa loves it, too. And we stockpile it along with, and it's not going to be on the call, but some great Mexican soda water that they have.
Sugar-based.
Yeah. No.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So Pepsi or Coke? What do you prefer?
It's a Hobson's choice because LaGuardia, Ramon's doing a fantastic job at PepsiCo. I think you can own both. Now, remember, this group has been under pressure. It's been under pressure, and I can't say I think that Procter has to be great in order to turn around. I actually believe J&J can pull down this group. There's some real explaining to do about how this happened with Talc. I don't mean to overemphasize it, but I have to overemphasize it.
I mean, not that it's anywhere near the same universe, but people have said, take the earnings week in perspective, UNH was a standout in terms of commentary.
Right. UNH was fabulous. Just fabulous. J.P. Morgan was unbelievable. I'm still listening to the crowing in my ears. But Caterpillar, that downgrade, could be ill-informed. I don't know. I mean,
really?
Well, look, I looked at Dover yesterday, and Dover's a classic industrial. It's doing really terrifically. I do believe Deere's doing well. Now, Cat has just moved from 118 to 132 in absolute nothing. And I look at Cat as similar to Emerson, which is a controversial situation.
Yeah, actually, I'm going to talk a bit about Emerson later in the program. I'm going to wrap up some of the activist situations going on right now, including Emerson.
Are you
going
to have AT&T?
Well, that's not really a news story, but I will. We can talk a bit about it.
It's not a news story?
No. The fact that an activist is talking to management and or the board, that is what you do. You have dialogue. So, yes, no, that is, in my mind, that is not really
a story. I thought it was a story.
It will be a story when there's actually something newsworthy.
Now, like they say on a conference call, David.
Yeah.
Let's talk offline.
Okay. But you don't disagree with me.
No, I don't. I just was hoping. Actually, what I was doing was hoping that you knew something that I didn't know.
I know a lot, but none of it is worth.
Stanky, what do you have?
What do I have?
Direct information TV. Before
Direct
he just
TV.
Spills it
yeah.
out.
I mean, DirecTV.
I like to actually make sure there's news value.
HBO, the new the competitor to Netflix.
Jim, the most important day for this company coming up is nothing to do with the activists. It's on the 29th of October when Warner and Mr. Stanky, Mr. Stevenson will roll out their streaming service. That is a big day.
All right.
An important day. It's going to have ramifications for obviously Warner / AT&T, but also for Netflix.
See, you had
Disney
something
Plus
to say.
Others.
You had something to say.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, you're good. Anyone change it?
No, J&J we have to look into more, but I'm not quite sure what you do to look into it at this point, Jim.
J&J symbols just became OMG.
Hey. When we come back, another departure from the White House, as you know by now.
A very good friend of mine who's been with me right from the beginning, and somebody that's going to be going, I guess, at the end of the year. I'm going to miss you so much. A man who has been your long-term talented governor. Energy Secretary Rick Perry. Rick, fantastic job.
Outgoing Energy Secretary Rick Perry will join us in a few moments. In the meantime, we'll get Kramer's Mad Dash countdown to the opening bell. Dow needs 333 points to hit its all-time high close. Back in a minute.
All right, let's get you to a Mad Dash as we count down to the closing bell. Opening bell. I'm doing closing bell today.
Are you doing closing
That's
bell?
That's why I'm thinking about closing
bell. Are you Sarah or are you Wilf?
I'm maybe both for all
Terrific.
I know.
Terrific.
Yeah.
Good. I'll look for it. I'll watch it.
Yeah. Well, watch closely.
What's the most important hour of the day?
Well, also, they got that market zone. You seen that?
No.
Ooh, be careful. You don't want to get stuck in the market
zone. Is that like
zone.
The wardroom?
Yes.
There's no fighting in the wardroom, David.
There's a lot going on in that market zone.
David.
But you know what? We got a lot going on for the Mad
David,
Dash.
What? Here's,
what
a, here's a little, let's just say, sotto voce way to say this.
Yes.
Investor confidence has been shaken in the cannabis sector. These have been spindled. They've been mutilated. But David, Cronos is the new king, according to Stiefel. I mean, you want to be king of this? This is King Midas in reverse, for heaven's sake.
What happened, Jim? What happened?
What happened? What
yes.
happened? Shorts brought it down. But number of
Don't
bad
blame
numbers.
The shorts.
Okay.
They didn't bring it down. They just
well, no,
were shorting
there's a,
the
there's
stock.
A, there's a yeah. An ETF that has really been under assault.
Okay.
Canopy is just horrendous.
Yep.
Waiting to see a seat. Doesn't have a real act. You know, it's like kind of a CEO in name.
Right.
But the, Cronos, they're talking about it is half cash. David, whose cash is it? Altria.
Right, of course.
This is, you know what this is, David? This is the jewel of the Coke, of the Altria empire.
I think its decline in price is somewhat similar to what we've seen in Juul. You know, yesterday I tweeted Juul was trading around $300 in the secondary market.
$300?
Yeah, a share. And now it's about $90 on a recent trade, Juul.
So
that
really?
Gives you a sense as to how.
Well, you know, they got rid of all the
value.
Flavors that been have yeah. been so good at attracting young
yeah.
people. You know, one, I mean, you know, hooking young people was so good with these, and now they've stopped those.
Well, but writing that on this doesn't necessarily portend good things, Jim.
Well, because of vaping, David.
Yeah,
it's vaping situation. They're saying Steve was saying, don't worry about vaping. David, don't worry about vaping.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, you know, when your kids vape watermelon, I mean, you know, come on, David, it's all good. So thank you, FDA. Thank you, FDA, for regulating that business so tightly. Thank you, Carl Quintanilla, for blowing the whole story so that people knew what was really going on with Juul. Juul the crown.
Stick around. We have
it,
more.
It took our network to bring this thing down, but we did it.
Coming up in a few minutes, Rick Perry set to resign as Energy Secretary. He's going to join us next. The opening bell is in 7 minutes. Don't go away. You're watching CNBC Squawk on the Street, live from the financial capital of the world. The opening bell in 4 minutes. A lot to cover on this Friday as we wrap up the first big week of earnings. We've talked about Coke and Amex, downgraded Caterpillar and Macy's today. Got some Fed speak later on. And then, of course, there's Facebook. Mark Zuckerberg speaking yesterday at Georgetown on free speech, blasting rival TikTok over its censorship in China.
While our services like WhatsApp are used by protesters and activists everywhere due to strong encryption and privacy protections, on TikTok, the Chinese app growing quickly around the world, mentions of these same protests are censored, even here in the US. Is that the internet that we want? So this is one of the reasons why we don't operate Facebook, Instagram, or our other services in China.
Jim talked about the balance between censorship and misinformation, said in political ads it's something we have to live with.
Look, the other day Mark Benioff was here, and he attacked Zuckerberg and Facebook pretty hard. And I think I urged him to moderate his position, that, and it's because of speeches like this. Remember, TikTok, most people don't even realize it's Chinese. And subtly, they do it. The government does exactly what we're most fearful of. And I think that Facebook is changing. Now, I know Mark said, look, it is absolutely untrue, Jim. They're hooking its young people, whatever. But the Facebook that I'm seeing, it's not a Greyhound bus. It's not just going to be whoever comes on is fine. But this is a responsible speech. It's a provocative speech, and TikTok is a sham. It's a sham. And, you know,
but that's
I like
not
this.
The standard we want to live by, right? TikTok is not the American standard of free speech.
No, but I think that there's a lot, you know, people, it's always been hard to understand the relation between First Amendment and corporations. Hey, that's touched on by this speech. I don't know. I mean, I said this is a policy speech by a guy who's known as someone who is supposed to not care about this stuff. I think it's very, very thoughtful. I don't know. I'm going to defend it. I think it's a very good speech. Thoughtful speech. Goes to Georgetown. Is this the Zuckerberg that we knew 2 years ago? People can change. People can change.
Well, what's going to matter to the street is the quarter. And yesterday, Morgan Stanley had a list of high conviction names. It included Deere, Tiffany, Microsoft, and Facebook.
Of those, I think Microsoft deserved to be in that group. I think Facebook's going to have a better than expected. That's my look at it. I don't know how they get Tiffany with the dollar so strong.
It was a surprise, yeah. I think Norwegian Cruise is in there, too, and Procter. But I saw Facebook on that list.
You know, Procter's down a lot. I question whether it isn't the right time to buy. Norwegian Cruise, I mean, Carnival was very bad. I think that Norwegian Cruise is very good because they're not as connected with, obviously, the Caribbean, which, by the way, we don't talk about it. The Caribbean was decimated by that storm. It's kind of like, who cares? It's a big deal.
I mean, for Facebook, it's easy for people to line up in favor because the multiple is fairly low given the growth rates.
Yes.
If they actually have the quarter that many expect, right?
Absolutely.
Now, there is this larger issue of what happened to the company, of regulation. Certainly takes a few multiple points.
There's Mark Benioff talking about that it's necessary to split up Facebook, Instagram, and WhatsApp because it's too powerful. And I don't know. I mean, the too powerful argument, that's the old antitrust. That's the Standard Oil antitrust. I'm not buying it. And I think Mark's book, Trailblazer, is great. But I am not buying the idea that we have to break up Facebook. Not buying it.
There's the opening bell and watching the breath fill in at the CNBC real-time exchange. At the big board, it's Galileo Acquisition Corp. Expected to debut at the NYSE on Tuesday. At the NASDAQ, Relmada Therapeutics focusing on therapies for central nervous system.
Incredible
disease.
How difficult it is to try to conquer issues in central nervous. I wish them luck. CNS, just a very, very tough, tough. The brain. Like we know jack about the brain. We know. I'm a student of the brain.
Really?
Yeah.
Are you really?
Yes, I am. I'm doing some work offline with the brain and the vagus nerve. And you'll see my...
In your spare time.
Yes, and you'll see what I've got probably in 6 months.
That's great, Jim. I'm glad you're finding time to do that.
Well,
I guess gardening season's over, so now you can devote some more time to your brain studies.
I'm the chief spokesman for the American Migraine Foundation.
Yes, we're aware.
David, that's not AMF like the bowling.
No, I know.
We're aware. Okay, just slide... slap me down. It's not a one-day thing. You're not spokesperson, and then you're not. You're spokesperson, and then you go away. David, 30 million people suffer from migraines. Not that you care.
I do care, actually.
Do you?
Yes, I have.
In my hedge fund, if you had a migraine, I said, go home to your ma. We're not doing that anymore.
No.
Being a little more
serious business. And there are real advances being made.
The CGRP pill, okay, that Allergan has, I think that it's being underplayed by what AbbVie's going to have. I think the AbbVie merger is good. Have you seen Bristol-Myers? You seen Bristol-Myers, how good that thing has been? Celgene? David, these are wheelhouse stories for you. AbbVie and Bristol-Myers are doing... They can't grow, so they buy.
They do. AbbVie buying Allergan, Bristol-Myers buying Celgene.
It's the migraine
well
pill.
Aware.
And Botox is still doing quite well. David, when you're a migraine sufferer, you get 100 Botox shots, but it's not where you want them. It's where you need them.
I know. Unfortunately, many times insurance will not cover that either.
Oh, yeah. Tell me about it.
And that becomes a very difficult
thing. You know, I had a fight with my insurer. I said, look at me. Do you think I used it on my face?
Yeah, the insurers are maddening.
Yeah.
Everything.
Well, Elizabeth Warren will wipe them out. You want to do that?
No, I don't think she will, because even if she were, first of all, we're 100-plus days away from the Iowa primary.
Which she'll win.
Which she better win, because if she doesn't, then she loses a lot of momentum.
Secondly, by saying that you think Elizabeth Warren will do that, you're assuming that she will win the presidency. Third, that the Senate will turn Democratic enough so that she could actually get a majority of votes to support whatever policy she puts forward.
Even if the Democrats won every single race in the Senate, they still would not have the supermajority that is needed for single payer. So you're right. It's a little hyperbole.
It is. It is.
No, you're supposed to say it's hyperbole.
Yes. Hyperbole and you know each other well.
Yes. So, okay, so we just trashed the heck out of Elizabeth Warren.
Guys, as you're settling the world's problems, KSU is going to lead the S&P. Beats on the top and the bottom line. Revenue up 7. Again, another, in this case, rail carrier where efficiency's been good.
It is amazing. David introduced me to the concept of precision railroading, and it has taken hold. It is rather remarkable because you get a company like Union Pacific, and their revenues are down 7, and their earnings are down 2. And by the way, I mean, this is the actual, if you look at it year over year, it's being terrific. A lot of this is they don't have to price cut. A lot of it is that they make more money off of every car than they used to.
They're doing well. Lance Fritz yesterday talking about in the conference call and then with us during an interview.
Too self-deprecating.
Not downsizing.
Well, they layoffs.
Count reduction.
The layoffs. You know, even a year ago, he was talking about having to hire anybody who walked in the room. They've been able to reduce very, very quickly. And by the way, CSX, same story. Really terrific. Really terrific stories. And I've got to tell you, the rails, you'd think that they should be hurt very badly given about the trade issues and the cargoes that really have to do with Chinese. Yeah, they're hurt. But I think the rails are by. I mean, you know, if Larry Kudlow was right yesterday, which, you know, resoundingly, people bashed me on Twitter that Kudlow, how could I agree with Kudlow? Kudlow was saying that Lighthizer was saying this. Lighthizer is, a lot of people think, is in the Navarro camp, David.
He is?
Well, he's no camp, maybe? I don't know.
Well, how about this journal piece this morning that Kudlow arranged a meeting in the Oval with outside experts who warned the president that escalating China trade war could imperil the economy and hurt his chances for re-election. The president's response was, "Where's Peter?"
Right.
This is sort of the journal.
It was Stephen Moore and Larry Lindsey, I believe, who went in there and sort of discussed it at Kudlow's urging. And again, this is all journal reporting. And he was just blaming Powell.
The 7 deadly sins that Peter Navarro has outlined are where the president lives, okay? And by the way, if they don't approve the NVIDIA Mellanox deal soon.
By the way, let me stop you on that. I don't know about that NVIDIA Mellanox deal. I hear is that thing is just going to be stuck in no man's land.
Jensen Huang, the man who has created artificial intelligence that is able to be actual speech recognition of truth, has told me, in other words, David, go to whatever. I don't mean it literally.
No, of course not. Listen, your insights here, your information may very well be correct. What I will tell you, Jim, is that when you are a large company where you have a decent amount of business in China and you're thinking about doing a deal on which, therefore, you would need antitrust approval in China and or are not in a position to divest the Chinese businesses to get the deal done, you're not doing that deal, period. Your board is like, no way, it's not happening. That is where things stand right now. I know that in terms of M&A. No board is giving a go-ahead to a deal in which it requires Chinese antitrust approval if the business is large enough that you can't just hive it off. Or
really?
Close it down.
Okay, that's you know, people like, let's say, the legendary Scott Barshay at Paul Weiss would say that?
I do talk to more people than just that gentleman, but thank you, yes. And not that I even talk to that gentleman.
No, it's good. Now, Caterpillar barely...
I try to talk to all the ladies gentlemen.
I mentioned Barshay because he's...
Boards of directors and the CEOs of these companies as well.
Well, that's a lot of deals that aren't going to happen.
It very well might be. That's right.
Wow.
I mean, Goldman has a piece out, David Kostin today, on cash M&A. Not necessarily stock deals, but they see S&P 500 cash spending down 6% for the year, weakest in a decade, driven by a 20% drop in cash M&A, 15% drop in buybacks. So, I mean, CEO confidence is weak, and they're doing something about it.
How is this market so high if all those things are happening? And the answer is what American Express said on its call, which is that the consumer continues to spend and spend a great deal with a good balance sheet. The millennials have become spenders. They're no longer just kind of loafers playing video games all day, Grand Theft Auto. And I think that the American Express situation should be recognized as being a much better one than the stock has indicated.
But you still don't believe that the retail sales print this week, worst in 7 months, is...
That was nonsense. And American Express being down is nonsense. Look, retail sales, I mean, I can only go for what those companies that I keep talking about tell me. American Express down. I mean, will you give me a break? Give me a break. NVIDIA up a dollar. Why is that? Because they can't close the Mellanox deal? And they'll do...
Jim, I can only tell you...
Why don't you kibosh the Mellanox deal?
I didn't kibosh it, and I don't necessarily know specifically to that, but there is just fear that about the... If you get a trade deal, even phase one, even though the Chinese don't call it that.
They don't call it that. Be careful.
Then... Maybe the floodgates will... Things will get better. Maybe things will get better.
Why were people so, suspect about what Larry Kudlow said on our show?
Because he said it about 1,000 times.
Yeah.
That's a good reason.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Okay. Well, I'm going to talk a little bit about activism, guys.
I'm jammed here.
AT&T, not a story, but there are a couple of activist situations we've been following out there that are worth updating. Let's start with Marathon Petroleum.
MPC?
Yes, MPC. Remember, Elliot, of course, put a letter out on September 25th saying, hey, we'd like you guys, we've worked with you previously, and we really would like you to unlock the value currently trapped in your conglomerate structure. We'd like you to get the retail company to become standalone, that's Speedway, the gas stations. Midstream, we'd like to be standalone. Right. And the refining company would like to become New Marathon. Elliot's been putting the pressure on. D. Shaw has also been there. A number of other large shareholders. In fact, there were meetings. Others have reported on this, too, over the last couple of days. Three of the independent directors, the three big independents, Jim Rohr, Mike Stice, and Evan Bayh. Remember Evan Bayh, former senator?
Those guys were all heavy. You know, Stice is the real hitter there.
Yeah. And what I can tell you is this, and again, in speaking to people around this situation, there are a lot of possibilities that Marathon will consider, but you're seeing them right there in terms of what at least seems more likely in the view of many people who've been involved in these conversations. Namely, from what I believe to be the case, on the 31st, which is when they're reporting earnings, there may well be additional announcements along with that. What will it be? It could well be that we will immediately separate Speedway. It could be that they're going to say we're going to conduct a review of the midstream operations. You could even get more. Could even get more of a plan on midstream. And then, Jim, is the question of Mr. Heminger's future. Gary Heminger, longtime CEO there, of course, chairman and CEO of the company. Will there be an orderly transition of some kind that will take place in the near term? That is another key question here. But there have been a lot of conversation around this. Those independent directors, largely in listening mode, but at least from what I'm hearing, based on them and,
but David, this
and other
is...
people, there is going to be real move when it comes
Gary's
to
Gary's not an old... Gary's young.
No, he's young. I hear he may want to run for governor of Ohio. I don't know. Would you
Are
know?
Are you just idly speculating? Because
yeah,
I thought he was going to run for CEO of Marathon.
I usually leave the idle speculation to you, but I figured I'd just throw that in there.
Dave, that's great reporting.
Thank you. Let's move on to Emerson. This is a story I did earlier this week. On Tuesday, of course, outlining D.E. Shaw's various objections to current management and their plan, whether it's the way that they're compensated, whether it's their cost structure, whether it is, well, a cost structure that they believe could be diminished to a large extent, whether it is a board that is staggered currently. A lot of different things came up, of course, in the D.E. Shaw report. There's engagement here. There always is some engagement. That's why that AT&T story in the Journal is sort of odd.
Right.
You're always talking. You're trying to talk. If you're not talking at all, there's a problem or you're going to a proxy fight. That's not the case here. November 6th, though, is when the window closes. There is a back and forth going on between the company and D.E. Shaw. The question is, do they want to fight? Do they feel like they have enough support of their shareholders to say, hey, you know what, we do not need to follow what you're saying and or even give you any board seats? What's D.E. Shaw's ask? That remains somewhat unclear. They did have, I've heard, as many as four candidates. There are four candidates coming up in the current term, but certainly would be happy to settle for less than that, one would expect. And you have to decide here if you are Emerson and your advisors. Are you willing to say, all right, maybe we'll give you a board seat or maybe even two?
or do you want to fight and put it to your shareholders? Jim, I know you've had Mr. Farr on a number of times, most recently. I think the airplanes opened some people's eyes.
The airplanes. How about this?
$25 million, the internship program, 40 people in the aviation department.
Suboptimal. But, David, he came on Mad Money, and he said, listen, I'm willing to split the company in half. But he said, maybe not now. Wait till this new CEO. People were unhappy about
that. But he hasn't given a specific date for stepping down either.
No.
He's just said broadly 2021, correct?
Yeah. In other words, this is like marathons to some way.
Wow.
I don't know. He's a long-term.
Elliott is, first of all, a larger shareholder. It seems that they have a lot more company there, and they've got independent directors who are eagerly listening. I'm not sure you can say quite the same.
Well, look, I think Emerson. That was an unfair comparison. I remember Emerson's up 14%.
Yeah.
It yields almost 3%. It's got, by the way, a great reverse head and shoulders pattern. I know you follow
it,
those
things. It does, but the TSRs over the last 10 years, 5 years, they use 3 years because that's the best comparison for them. The stock has benefited from the move up when DE Shaw actually got involved and was start to be reported. But overall, when you look at the metrics, Jim, they're not particularly impressive.
Well, it spent a fortune on China, which obviously is not considered to be a place you want to be right now. But, okay, I'll give you that. I mean, I'm looking at the long term under Mr. Knight.
Right, Mr. Knight, yeah, Carl was talking about, right, before Mr. Farr, you mean.
Yes.
Right, but Farr's been CEO for 18 years.
Yeah.
19 years.
I did a journal piece for about them for Page One when it was Chuck Knight, I think. Was,
yes,
yeah,
yes.
The old CEO.
Yeah. Well, I remain...
Go back for 30 years? What are you doing here?
I remain a believer in Mr. Farr. I think that there's always companies that can do better. I mean, Darius Adamczyk at Honeywell, what he's done is rather remarkable. But look at 3M. I mean, I don't hear you talking about 3M at all.
No.
But have you noticed that stuff?
Talk about it. Yeah.
You noticed that stuff?
Finally, guys, we mentioned this on AT&T earlier, the journal reporting about these talks. Yes, they're talking. They've been talking. That's what you do if you're an activist and a management team. We'll see. Can they get something done prior to this important meeting on the 29th of October? That's really where investors are focused right now. Certainly the Elliott proposals and the conversations there are of importance. It's not a story. I'll end it there.
Not a story.
Not yet.
All right. Well, you determine what's a story and what's not.
Oh, apparently I
story god.
I do right here at this.
That's what we do all day.
This little chair I do.
I did some work on it. I had the impression it was when I was doing work on it there was a story, but obviously it was a waste of my time. I should have spent more time on how long Mahomes is going to be out.
Oh, 6 weeks, right?
He is.
Is it 6 weeks? I don't know.
We don't know. We don't have the MRI. Do we have the MRI? I thought three, but some people are saying longer.
He didn't get mono, did he?
No.
That guy came back with a vengeance.
Oh, dislocated kneecap.
Huh. I don't know. If we had the dislocated kneecap, we'd be out for about 7 years.
Yeah, exactly.
There, they pull it back. He's like, imagine, it's like, zoom! They pull it back in, they put it back in, he's like walking.
Let's get to the Energy Secretary Rick Perry. As you know by now, going to leave his post by year end. The president confirming that news while talking to workers at a Louis Vuitton factory in Texas yesterday. The former Texas governor turned Energy Secretary has served in the post since the Trump presidency began. And he joins us this morning live from Texas. Mr. Secretary, welcome. Good to see you again.
Thank you. It's good to be with you.
A few days ago, you said not today, not tomorrow, not next month, but you didn't say not next year. So I guess technically you were accurate. Why now?
Yes, sir. I've been looking at this for some time. I don't think anybody's surprised that, I've got a rather intense love affair with this state, my wife, this little town around Top where we've chosen to live. So the lure became overwhelming for me to come back home and to spend time with the people that I really love. And with that said, there were some things, big things, that I wanted to get done as the Secretary of Energy. Got a great team over there with Dan Bruette as the number two and the folks that make up these national labs. For instance, getting LNG into the European theater, one of the most important projects I think that our country has. And I got tapped, being the Secretary of Energy, to lead that effort to make sure that European countries, Poland, for instance, Ukraine, which had lived under Soviet oppression before, and Soviet gas, or excuse me, Russian gas, was being used as a weapon against those countries. It had been cut off a number of times in Ukraine. So it made abundant good sense for us to be able to be in that market, to clearly be able to tell American companies, you can come here, you can work here. In Ukraine in particular, there were some powerful messages of you've got to have transparency, you've got to have rule of law, you've got to have the sanctity of contracts, you've got to end the corruption that we've seen there and we've heard about so many times. So those conversations were had over a long period of time with Ukraine, with Poroshenko, and then subsequently with the Zelensky administration. Yep. And we're successful in getting those done. The nuclear side of things, civil nuclear side of things. I'm leaving tomorrow for Brussels to go do a small modular reactor conference, the first of its kind, so America can come back and take the premier place as a developer of the technology and to win this nuclear industry back to America. The third thing, and this one's really important to me from a personal basis, I had great interaction with kids that had traumatic brain injury, concussions, post-traumatic stress, and standing up an office of artificial intelligence at the Department of Energy. I was able to get that finalized here within the last 45 days. So the timing was right for me. I've got these big things done. The agency's in great shape. It's going to continue to be focused on the areas that are important to America. So it was a right time for me to come back home.
You told Fox this morning it's not related to the House inquiry. You've also said you won't comply with the subpoena on advice of counsel. Are there any circumstances under which you would comply?
Well, I think you may be a little bit ahead of yourself there. Until our the advice of counsel comes out at the today, I don't know what that answer is going to be, actually. Let's just hold off on saying we aren't going to address that issue until we get a final advice from our counsel.
Secretary Perry, Jim Cramer here. Good to see you. I've been following the nuclear industry for a long time. I have a lot of utility execs on Mad Money. There isn't a soul that has said there will ever be a nuclear power plant built again in this country. We all know that it is a clean form of energy. But everyone says it is dead. What makes you think you can possibly revive it when the guys who would be building it are rather put up windmills? They would rather do solar, and nuclear is dead.
Yeah, I hate to correct you, but we're building a plant right now, Vogtle, down in Georgia. And
reactors have some real... What are the overruns on Vogtle? What are the overruns on Vogtle? What is...
That's not what you said. I mean, I don't want to argue with you here. Let's get straight here.
They can't
I think the
Vogtle.
Idea that small modular reactors settle down here. Small modular reactors have the potential to be substantially more economically safer. And so, you sound like the conventional wisdom guys back 15 years ago that said peak oil. I hope you weren't one of those, were you?
Oh, come on, sir. I've been in favor of nuclear energy forever. I live next to a nuclear power plant.
So lean in here with us.
I was like 5 feet away from it when I was living in my car, and it didn't affect me at all. Secretary, really, I am so in favor of nuclear energy, but these guys are so negative.
I need to take you to the small modular reactor conference in Brussels. Come go with me and talk about it and be passionate about it. It is a potential for America. We can get there.
I hope so, because, boy, is it the cleanest form of energy. Yeah. You are dead right. I just wish they believed in it more. And I think you're so right. It is the most sustainable form of energy.
Wind's pretty good. Your home state of Texas does pretty well with wind, too, doesn't it, Secretary Perry?
Well, it's one of the things. As a matter of fact, Texas, as a percentage, has more renewable energy than Europe as a whole. So, we're headed in the right direction. The president wants an all-of-the-above energy policy. That's the reason, he promotes all forms of energy and finding cleaner, more efficient ways to develop all of those. So, and he's a big proponent
of
us moving our nuclear side. He's not as big a fan of wind as I am.
What are you going to do when you step down? I would expect, we cover, obviously, as you well know, and you and I have talked through the years. We're down at Kyle Bass's ranch a number of times through the years. I mean, corporate America fairly well. You see yourself serving on some boards? Is that kind of what you may choose to do?
For the next, until the end of the year, let me put it that way, I don't know exactly when I'm going to step away from my job, but we're going to be... my wife and I'll decide on what we want to do. I was reading my devotional this morning that said, what's the next big thing for you in your life? What's the most important thing you're going to do?
And I hope in front of me is the biggest thing that I'll ever do. It may be something in the charitable side. It may be a prison ministry somewhere. It may be an opportunity to work with people to bring power to the billion plus people in the world that don't have electricity. I got a lot of opportunities. I'm a blessed man. I'm healthy. I got a fabulous wife to come home to. So my life's pretty good.
Mr. Secretary, we hope you'll come back often. It's good to see you. Congratulations on your run.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Rick Perry joining us from Texas today.
Very light guy.
Yeah, I mean, it's good very exchange. Good exchange, Jim.
Yeah.
There was some commentary yesterday about whether the U.S. is actually a net exporter now, right. But it depends on how you slice and dice the right. EIA data.
Right. It's Rusty Brazil talks about how you got to be careful because there are different products that go out that are under the fossil fuel label, but we're still a net importer. But I know that what's going on in the Permian is incredible. This morning, actually got an upgrade from sell to hold for Apache, which is a natural gas company. Now, it didn't mean to be a natural gas company. And I look at Schlumberger, yep. Reported a number that wasn't so bad.
Big charge.
Schlumberger, I think, can come back, but that is just wow. You need a lot more drilling in deep water. Chevron, by the way, was so smart, put up a huge number, huge well in Gulf of Mexico. The Gulf of Mexico's got the highest production ever, and that's what we really need right now, right?
No.
David's not.
Well, I mean, I'll quote Schlumberger, market uncertainty weighing on future oil demand outlook,
that's,
right?
There they go, and that's a new CEO who is much more, I think, circumspect about calling a bottom than the previous CEO, who did navigate some very tough times. I don't want to...
But to your point, I mean, we didn't talk to the Secretary at all about coal, which... Yes. As we know, with natural gas being at the price it is, and the electric utilities right. making the choices they are, is...
The coal numbers from CSX and Union Pacific were abysmal. Union Pacific is secular decline. There's a big natural gas switch. And, of course, we talked about with wind. Coal's as finished as nuclear. Now, I mean, can I just say to Secretary Perry that the $25 billion nuclear projects at Georgia's troubled plant Vogel's a black hole. And yes, it's true that they're building it, but that's not necessarily positive.
Let's get to Rick Santelli checking on the bond markets on this Friday. Good morning, Rick.
Good morning, Carl. You know, it's been a neutral week for rates, so to speak. Look at a 2-day of 10s. Now, we did have several spikes, especially yesterday when we spiked up to 80. 180 was a big level, and we failed. But on the week, we're up 2 on the day. Unchanged on the day, up 2 on the week. Open the chart up to September, and you can see we've really come very close to a very significant level at 190. Boons, I think interest rates in Europe is a huge story. Day, week, month. Look at a 2-day of boons. Yesterday, they got all the way up to minus 33. They're hovering around minus 38. Open the chart up to August 1st. The end of August, they established their all-time negative low yield close at minus 71. Yesterday's minus 33 high intraday, oh, my God, that cut that number in more than half. This move is big, and it has huge implications. Finally, the dollar index, it's down 0.7 cents on the week, as you see there, and it continues to lose ground. Many believe that as the dollar slips a bit, you're going to see other parts of the globe do a bit better. Time will tell. Carl, David, Jim, back to you.
All right, Rick, thank you. Jim, you've had a big week on MAD, obviously.
Yeah, we're going to rate the banks because I think people don't understand there are good ones or bad ones. I got to do more work on American Express. Obviously, stock is down. That could be wrong. Wow, what a week. We got a lot.
Did it matter to you that we didn't close above 3K? Is that you paying attention
no,
to that?
No, I mean, I just think that, look, there's a lot of people who are just worried that the consumer's weak. They're not. That retail sales number threw everybody, and I think the retail sales number was wrong. And I'm willing to bet that when we see the retail sales companies, other than Macy's, other than L Brands, okay, other than Gap, it's going to be pretty good.
That's all headed our way. We'll see you tonight, Jim. And good luck Sunday night.
I may need it. Thank you.
Eagles, Cowboys. You've been listening to the opening bell on CNBC's Squawk on the Street.